From within the shadow of the Golden Circle Cannery in beautiful downtown Northgate, it's the Blather on Ratbag Radio. And it is I, Dave Riley, who is speaking. Today's episode of Ratbag Radio's special and only show, The Blather, has some music for once, some real music. This music is rather special to us, but I'll get to that metal later on. We also have an interview which we did with Amelia Taylor on casual workers' rights. And then to top off the activities inside your head, we're going to give you a little satire on how difficult it is nowadays to get into Australia. But first, let's go to the music. Andorra is a political rock band that organises shows and events where they try to communicate positive resilience to the things we care about. It's a Sydney-based band, and it has a very good sound. I'm really impressed with Andorra, and in my contact with the band, I've become more excited still, because not only do they do the usual band-type things like present their music in pubs and other venues, but they're working, well, they'll be soon working on a special project called Terror the Musical. That's right. Not a musical comedy, perhaps, but a little bit of laughs and so forth. This is going to be a special event which they will bring together, because they've done it before. They've done a musical-style show before, and that last production that they did was called I Dream of Johnny, which apparently was rather successful. The special occasion today is that not only does Andorra do musical performances, but they also bring out their own music on CD and MP3, and their latest song is one called Baxter. And Baxter, if you think, ooh, I know that word, Baxter is the name of the migrant detention centre in outback South Australia. And this is a very special protest against the nature of that internment camp.
Baxter! Empower the mentally ill! Baxter!
Wow, that'll shake you up. Andorra is a Sydney-based band, but you can nonetheless obtain their CDs and other paraphernalia by going to their webpage at andorramusic.com.au, andorramusic.com.au. And there's a video clip out, which you may see on television, SBS television at least, on for the song Baxter. So keep your eye out for that. You'll find the URLs for the band and some other information about band and the Baxter anal retention center, but the Baxter migrant center. I'm stuck on the word retention now. Detention, that's right, Baxter Detention Center. You'll find information about that place, that terrible place, in the show notes. Amelia Taylor is a spokesperson and activist in the United Casual Workers Alliance, which is a new group that has been formed and creating quite an impact on the Gold Coast in Queensland, dedicated to supporting casual workers' rights. In a place like the Gold Coast, where so many people do work casual, the United Casual Workers Alliance is bound to have quite a future there. Well, let's start thinking, what is the campaign that you're involved in at the present time that it's taken so much of your time?
It's the United Casual Workers Alliance, which is a campaigning organisation for rights of casual and low-paid workers, particularly on the Gold Coast.
My guess would be on the Gold Coast there would be a significant proportion of low-paid and casual workers, given that it's so much geared towards the tourist industry. Would that be right?
That's correct. It's about 70% of the workforce on the Gold Coast is casual. There's also a high proportion of seasonal employees and part-time workers as well.
But if that's such a high proportion, are these people covered by trade unions? What's the sort of union membership among this layer on the Gold Coast?
They are covered by trade unions, but traditionally casual workers don't join trade unions. There's a lot of reasons for it. It's a kind of work that can go up and down on a week-to-week basis, so paying your membership fees can be difficult. If you're in a casual job, you can change jobs a lot of times, and so you might have to change your union. Quite often it's just not the casual workers often don't join the traditional trade unions.
Does that mean that your campaign is a... What does your campaign do relative to unions? Are you encouraging people to join unions, or do you run separate campaigns for wages and conditions?
We encourage people to join unions. What we want the UCWA to be is just a bridge between the workplace and the unions, particularly for people that haven't joined a trade union before.
If that's the situation, what's been the story so far with your campaign? I understand, was it last week or the week before you had a meeting in town?
We've had a really good response. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago. Being the Gold Coast, things are very slow always to take off, but we had representatives from the Shop Distributors Alliance and the LHMU come along, as well as some people from the Gold Coast City Council and a few other places, and they were all really supportive and really interested in being involved.
So what sort of things is the campaign doing at the present time? Like, sort of, what other initiatives have you done on the Gold Coast to help foster your campaigning?
At the moment, we're basically just going around to workplaces. We're going into the workplace. We're introducing ourselves. We're letting people know that there are unions there. We're telling people the name of their union. We're telling them where they can go to join. On the Gold Coast, it isn't a little thing. A lot of people here have never had a trade union actually come into their workplace before and introduce themselves. So to have anyone go in and say that they're from a workers' organisation is actually a big deal.
So this is a rather new event.
has it generated much interest? I know that you've been getting a bit of media down there, but what's been some other attitudes and responses to the campaign?
We did. We had a lot of coverage on Channel 9 on the Gold Coast News. Unfortunately, down here, a lot of the other media is completely ignoring us. The local newspapers don't seem to want to even acknowledge that we exist at the moment. So most of our good coverage has just come from the people that we've met while we're out there and people that we've sent emails to.
Well, that's interesting because whilst you're doing that on the Gold Coast, there's a campaign in New Zealand around the Unite Trade Union, around the Upsize My Pay campaign, which is very interesting because it must be very inspirational what they're doing in New Zealand for the sort of work that you are doing there on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, that was our inspiration, really, for starting our organisation. The only reason that we sort of decided to go with a different name and everything was just that on the Gold Coast, a lot of things are often copied, and we wanted to have something that was new, that hadn't been done anywhere else, so that people knew that it was specific for this area. But when we saw even images the other day of strikes at Hungry Jack's and things, that's what we're working towards here.
Well, I'm certain the employers on the Gold Coast would be pleased to hear that, knowing that their rather low casual rates are going to be challenged in the time ahead.
Oh, yeah, we've got a few of them scared.
That being the case, what is the situation for casual workers on the Gold Coast? What sort of pay rates and sort of conditions are they up against, given the nature of the town, which doesn't, since it's such a new existence on the map, it doesn't have a strong tradition of trade unionism, as you indicated by the unionisation numbers?
No, it doesn't. Casual workers, they exist here in really large numbers. There's also sort of a permanent part-time workforce that may as well be casual that's here. Quite often on the Gold Coast, people are left with large chunks of their time having to be available for work. It's very common for people to have to be available for work between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. That's sort of the most common scenario. People who can't organise their lives. The pay rates are low. Recently, the Australian Bureau of Statistics came out just to say that the Gold Coast has the lowest level of household income in all of Australia. So we do believe that that is related to casual work. But what we're actually focusing on in the beginning is actually the conditions of work, and in particular the availability.
The availability, yes, because it was probably seasonal depending on how many tourists are in town. When you talk about pay and conditions, do you have any examples of some of the conditions that exist? I think one of the last times I was talking to you, you were talking about the situations at such well-known icons as Movie World and those sort of special event places. Most of the workforce on those places are casual. What sort of conditions do the workers have to deal with there?
Yeah, the big employers are actually the worst, so the theme parks are some of the worst offenders. Basically, it's the availability thing. You have to be available every day of the week, 52 weeks of the year, in particular during school holidays. You might get 50 hours work a week during school holidays, then when everybody goes back to work and goes back to school, your hours will drop to 10. And you'll get nothing. You'll still have to be available for the same amount of time. At the theme parks, it's also a big problem is people having to do unpaid work and only getting paid from when the theme park is open, regardless of how long you've been there testing the ride or setting up your stall or whatever it is that you do there.
You mean you only get paid for when the park's open, so that anything extra is not paid for?
That's correct. So if you're a ride operator at Dreamworld, for example,
which is a casual position.
Yeah, which is a casual position. What will happen is you will get to work, you'll have to go and get your uniform, you'll have to get all the logbook and everything for your ride. You have to walk to the ride, you have to check it, you have to do one ride cycle. You will not get paid for that time. You are only paid from the time the park opens, and your ride has to be operational from that time.
No wonder they're making good money and not closing down. That's an extraordinary little deal, that one. But what about in other sectors? I mean, you were talking about retail before, and the Shop Distributors and Allied Trade Union is at your public meeting. Is the same sort of situation faced there? I suppose a lot of the other employers would be smaller enterprises, but I suppose there's large emporiums down the Gold Coast. Is similar exploitation as exists at the theme parks exists in the other sectors, like retail?
We believe so. I think the fact that the Gold Coast just has such a tradition of low workers' organisation and low membership to trade unions, that employers on the Gold Coast know that if they set up here and they go to employ people, they can get away with some of the worst conditions in Australia.
The theme parks, maybe, say, oh, you can say, well, they're special because the Gold Coast has got all the theme parks almost that are on the Australian mainland of any significance. But when you take on a retail enterprises, it's industry-wide. The conditions that are faced in the Gold Coast, either at Target or at Myers and Sainsbury's, are the same that exist in Brisbane or in Sydney and elsewhere. So that's a hot potato issue, I would think.
Yeah, that's... We definitely support other organisations all around Australia trying to do similar things. We know that there's other organisations in Melbourne and Brisbane, and there's one in Perth, I think, that have sort of been inspired by the same Unite movement. But we just know that on the Gold Coast, it's out of control. It's gone beyond a point of being able to say that the way workers are treated is understandable.
What does that mean for your future activities? You're talking about visiting people and making people aware of your existence and then referring them to trade unions. Have you got any other particular event planned in the time ahead?
We've got more public meetings planned, but we're hoping to perhaps have a little bit more fun with our public meetings in the future. We want to get well-known bands and people like that involved so that there's sort of a reason for people to take the night off and come to one of our meetings. But our big thing in the future is just we've decided to get really tough about it. We've decided to start going into workplaces and basically not leave until we're allowed access to the workers.
That's a problem, isn't it? Because legally you haven't got right of access, have you?
Legally, no. But if you can get unionised security guards, they're really great.
Oh, okay.
And if you can just, quite often when you go up to a front counter, say in a hotel, receptionists have never seen a person from a workers' organisation before, and they're interested in what you're doing, quite often they'll do the work for you.
Does that mean, given the work that you're doing and the work you tend to doing, does that mean that the unions have been rather slack and orientating to casual workers, at least on the Gold Coast? But I think it would may reflect a general attitude.
I know that the Gold Coast, and I think all around Australia, hasn't been recruiting the casual workers. I don't know whether it's that they've been slack or it's more a case of just missing the boat, maybe, and having to play catch up a little bit.
Although you mentioned events elsewhere or campaigns elsewhere, such as in Melbourne, do you link up with them in some way? Do you have some sort of communication channel woken up? Set up? I understand, for instance, you set up a web page or a discussion page to go with your campaign on the Gold Coast.
Yes, we've got a sort of website that at the moment is still a little bit in development, but it's www.ucwa.org.au, and there's a forum that you can link to on that page. But despite what's been on indie media and everything, Unite in Melbourne and the UCWA, we do communicate and we do share information and campaigning ideas and things.
Because I understand that there's a new initiative in Victoria which is relevant to this campaign, and that is that the Geelong Trades and Labour Council is setting up a Young Workers Conference. which is a good way to bring into the umbrella of trade union contact a lot of young people who are forced to work in casual and part-time condition because that's all that's available and also all that they have time for if they're doing university studies at that time.
Yeah, we've heard about the initiative. One thing, however, that we do think is important, we think it's important for people to realise that while the majority of young people are probably casuals, the majority of casuals are not young people.
Right, yes, true.
And this, you know, we're getting a lot of great responses from 40, 50-year-old women in particular on the Gold Coast who have never had any workers' organisation come up to them before because people have simply assumed that a 40 or 50-year-old woman wouldn't be interested in her own workplace rights.
So they must be keen when they see you.
Yeah, there's a lot of shock and people can get a little bit confused, but once they figure out that we're on their side, they're okay with us.
Oh, good. This is what struck me when I was reading reports of a large public meeting that they had in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago around the Unite campaign. 1,000 people turned up to this meeting, I think it was in Auckland, around the casual rights and campaign, Upsize My Pay. It was just a remarkable turn up for a public meeting around what is a trade union issue.
Yeah, we're aiming for similar numbers.
Yes, of course, that would be great. That would really shake the foundations there on the Gold Coast. Those sort of conditions are the backbone of the industry down there.
Yeah, it's actually something that we are really campaigning on, is to let casual workers know that without the casual workers, even for a day or for an hour, the Gold Coast would cease to function. And that's actually a strength that we've got in our campaign that I don't think would exist in other cities, where the casual workers, maybe without them for a day, the cities wouldn't shut down. But here, the Gold Coast would shut down even without the casuals for a few hours.
That brings a feature that on the Gold Coast, campaigning like this is not the norm. It's a town that does not have a strong tradition of political organising, is it?
No, and political organising up here is very hard. We've already, just from advertising a UCWA meeting, we've already had telephone calls from the Gold Coast City Council threatening us with fines for putting up posters saying that we were actually, even though they were stuck up only with sticky tape, that we were actually committing an act of graffiti by putting them up. We've had problems in the past at the local university who doesn't allow political stalls on campus. And just in general, it can look a bit funny in the middle of Surfers Paradise to have a political campaign going on at the same time.
It destroys the effect.
I think it destroys the effect, but also a lot of the time people who visit the Gold Coast are interested in what we're doing as well. Quite often tourists will come here and when they see things happening, they're actually glad to know that someone actually really does live here because it all is very pretty and very plastic and, yeah, very sterile.
Entrance Examination Australia. Candidates must answer 4 questions, both parts of Section A, and 2 questions from Section B. All of Section C is compulsory. Marks will be awarded for correctness of the answers, none for presentation or handwriting. Marks will also be deducted for facetious answers. Time allowed, 15 minutes. Section A. Literacy and culture. It has become clear to the examiners that candidates are finding it much easier in recent years to express themselves in English. However, since the society you hope to enter is a multicultural one, fluency in some other European language is now a condition of entry. Part 1. translate any two of the following statements into either Gaelic, Latin, or Basque. Statement 1. Stroof, mate, don't you think it's about time we had a smoker? Statement 2. After I finished off a few prawns and two dozen tinnies, I chunned it all over the back seat of Simo's FJ. Statement 3. Jacko couldn't wait to nick back down to the rubbity to tell his mates about the night he spent with Sheila. Part 2. Finish all three of the following sentences. A. There was movement at the station. B. Strong love of grey-blue distance. C. There was a red back on the toilet seat. Section B. Mathematics. Answer all of these questions by entering a number in the spaces provided. Number 1. If I backed a horse each way at 6 to 4 and it came home a winner, how much money could I expect from the TAB for my $5? Number 2. In AFL, if the centre half forward lops one through the big stick, how many points does he score? Number 3. How many feet are there in a first 11? Geography. The following locations are situated somewhere in Australia. Using the map provided, mark the following features. Outback, the Black Stump, Whoop Whoop, Shit Creek. Theology. Rate the following deities by preference. God the Father, His Son, Allah, Jehovah, Brahman, Wehegaru, Elohim, Kerry Packer. Section C. Essay topic, compulsory. Drawing on the Prime Minister's, Deputy Prime Minister's and Opposition Leader's recent comments on what it means to be un-Australian, write an essay on the topic, How to be Correctly Australian. The length is up to you, but if you run up more than 25 lines, you'll be automatically co-opted into your choice of either one of the two main political parties that take turns in governing this great nation. Before we begin, please be upstanding for the national anthem. That's your lot for today. I should point out, though, that if you want to get in touch with the United Casual Workers Alliance, you can do so by going to their webpage. That's at ucwa.org.au, ucwa.org.au. If you go to the show notes, too, you'll find more information about the campaign and other campaigns, particularly that which has been generated in New Zealand. And that webpage, that special webpage, the Ratbag Radio webpage, can be addressed at ratbagradio.blogspot.com, ratbagradio.blogspot.com. And if you want to contact Ratbag Radio at any time, you can do so by using our email address, ratbagradio@yahoo.com.au. That's ratbagradio@yahoo.com.au. You should note that on our webpage now we have a special discussion forum which you can access and participate in on any subject that may take your fancy, because we're trying to offer you an intimate interface with our blathering. So check that one out too. And remember, the best way to get Ratbag Radio is to subscribe to the podcast.
Ratbag Radio, keeping an ear out for you. Ear out.